Hi, cabin friends. I hope you're all doing wonderful. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning here. And we're getting excited for new things blooming and coming into being through Cabin Academy and through mine and Jordan's family. We've got some new projects underway. And yeah, it's exciting. We've also been completely nonstop. And I found myself so exhausted and at times just out of my depth. I'm trying to juggle family life and, music and some ministry things. So, I really just have felt that I've gone to new levels of juggling skills lately. And it's come to a point where I've just really realized, like in the midst of running myself ragged, that the Lord, He is my strength. I'm trying to do so much of this stuff in my own strength. And I've needed just to take some pause for a moment just to recalibrate and just to realize that anything that I'm doing that is not flowing out of being sourced entirely in Him is futile. So yeah, the Lord is our help, but do we even truly know that? Foolishly, sometimes we think that God needs our help, and He doesn't. He likes relationship, simple interaction, just hanging out with us as we fulfill His purposes and the paths that He has dreamed for us. You know, He's not a distant stranger. He's one with you. Jordan actually read something to me this morning, Bringing Heaven Down to Earth, which is some meditations from Rabbi Schneerson. And I just thought this articulated so beautifully the Lord's interaction in our lives. It's called God Involved. When a parent loves a child, he stoops down to the child with such love. He leaves his language to speak the language of the child. He leaves his place to play the games of the child. He leaves his entire world and all the maturity he has gained in 30, 40 years or more to become excited, sincerely excited by those things that excite the child, to react as the child reacts, to live with the child in the child's world with all his being. But he is not a child. He is an adult, even as he plays with the child. Precisely because he is truly an adult, he can allow himself to be a child and yet remain an adult. God feels our pain and our joy. He lives intimately with us in our world, yet he is infinite, beyond all things, even as he is here with us. And isn't that just such a beautiful picture of Jesus, of Yeshua, stepping out of that, the fullness, the enormity, the infinity of being with the Father in heaven, to step into our world, to be fully manifest with us and then within us by his Spirit. You see, the Lord seeks to have his expression through us in our everyday lives, the living, breathing, walking expression of his body on the earth. So let us pray each day, Lord, have your expression in and through me today, in my family, in my workplace, in my creativity, in my friendships, in my communication, even in my cooking. You know, how different would it be, you know, if we started our days just entrained to the freedom of his expression through our own free will, to choose his amazing and glorious, unique expression through us. You know, this isn't just conformity to typical Christian stereotypes, okay? This isn't necessarily just Mr. Nice Guy or Little Miss Sweet and Polite. It's Mr. Liberator, you know, it's Miss Truth Speaker or Mrs. Encourager or Mr. Humble, Miss Bold and Courageous. Or how about Mr. Miracles? I bet you like that one. And Miss Lightbringer, you know, it's him in you and you in him. And him in all that you interact with. So what prevents or hinders us from doing this, from living this out, day in, day out? Is it God? Does he prevent it? Does he hinder it? Is it the devil and his minions? Is it us? Or is it the world? So could even be a few of them. So yes, the enemy is called the deceiver. So what he does, he tries to persuade us to conform to a false or an inferior, a less than reality. and a false identity. You see, anything less than or just slightly altered from God's true identity or expression for you, the enemy just slightly twists it and then invites us to live out of that reality. And it's fake. If he sees an opportunity or a vacant space in us not filled with the vigorous fire of the word of truth, then the enemy will slyly plant falsities. He does this by lying and then by jumping into cracks in our spiritual armor that are vulnerable, perhaps through offense or through pride. Yeah, that's a big one. Especially in unhealed areas. When we come into agreement with his cunning persuasions, even if we start to listen to it, even if it sounds like our own reasonings in our head, or if it comes through the TV programming that we are just hypnotically absorbing mindlessly, or if it comes via a fellow work colleague, or it could just be a relative. If we believe it, then we're actually activating a form of faith, not for the good outcome, might I add. And this subsequently alters us. If this happens again and again over time, over our, you know, our lifetimes and our walks with the Lord, if we have entertained hundreds of lies from the evil one and come into agreement with a large number of them, we could have just been completely ignorant of many of these lies that we've believed over the years. Perhaps we've repented here and there for a couple, perhaps been offended at that person, or this person hurt me, so yeah, okay, I forgive them. But if there's certain areas in our thinking where we're still believing that same opinion of hurt or animosity towards people, or if we're just limping along in our superficial pseudo-spiritual walk, the more we continue unchecked, then these strongholds are building up stronger and stronger. Strongholds in our thinking that have been built and formed through layers upon layers of lies that we've come into agreement with. As we continue unchecked in our thinking and without true repentance, it's almost like when you're driving in your car and you got a flat tire and you start to feel the steering column slightly pulling, could be pulling slightly to the left, and you're driving along thinking, is this pulling? Is this just me or is it the road? Oh, no, it's pulling. And then you realize you really do need to pull over and deal with the problem. You have to get that tire changed because it's going to pull you off the road. Okay, we don't want to be steered off track by these lies from the evil one. We've got to pull over right now and deal with them. We've got to take off that flat tire and replace it with a brand new shiny one. We've got to dismantle these strongholds and invite the Lord in to bring us into that freedom. We need to come into that freedom in our own thinking and renew our minds, because these structures are built into our soul thinking, you know. Perhaps these strongholds are about ourselves, or they could be about other people. It could be about the world in general. Just our general opinions on things. You know, there could be strongholds in that, because they may not be aligning with the true word of what the Lord has said. And it could be very damaging and hindering to our walk and our destiny in him. It's funny, the other evening I was busy making dinner, and I met with the Lord, Yeshua. He showed up as I was chopping carrots. And he was mighty. And I was very startled. You know, I wasn't expecting it. I was praying and just like having my being in him, but I wasn't expecting him to show up like that. He was mighty. He was complete might, power and authority, but he also carried the absolute peace and pure present life. He was gently spoken, of course, I know his voice, but it was firm too. And I was completely in awe. He told me, I am the breaker. And that was kind of scary, but I felt safe too. I am the breaker. I asked him what that meant, and he said, I demolish enemy strongholds. He then went on to explain and to teach about this, and I was able to ask him all these questions. And it's funny because he is in no rush whatsoever. Because I had to keep stopping from what I was doing. And I was so much more aware of being with him, asking him these questions than even what I was doing. I can't even remember what I was making for dinner now. But it's funny that he was just so patient. And I even thanked him because I was pausing just to absorb what he was replying and answering to my questions. There was so much revelation deposited. And then another question would come. And then I actually thanked him just for being, you know, patient. And he just smiled and said, "There is no time with me." So he is timeless, you know. That statement alone just seemed to open up a space in the spirit, and we chatted and engaged, and I'm sure that no time passed. Like, the children were playing so quietly whilst all this was happening. Dinner was suddenly made, and it was just so easy and smooth, and it was a sweet teaching time with Jesus. So I want to share this scripture that he gave me, and it actually refers to him as the breaker, and that is Micah 2, verse 13. It says, "One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out by it. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord as their leader." That's Yahweh as their leader. So in context, this scripture is referring to the Jewish people, but it can also apply to us as Israel too. You know, the people are described as sheep, but their salvation is spoken of in language that implies that they're captives. The captives that only our Lord Yahweh can actually set them free, because it's a captivity to sin. It was a willing captivity whereby they have kind of sold themselves into it. The Lord Yahweh breaking open the way for them to go out, and the King Yeshua, the Good Shepherd, Yahweh, going before them as their leader. So I want to share this as well, because this was part of what the Lord showed me too, before I move on to the next kind of section. So I also saw that there are others. There's an army that God has created like him that also break through, where we can go in and demolish enemy strongholds. And it was like the Lord allowed me to see this whilst he was teaching me. It's possible to be in different places at the same time when you're with him in the spirit. So he was showing me this army that was going forth and smashing stuff, destroying and demolishing these enemy strongholds. They were smashing stuff that shouldn't be there. And I was shown that they're sent as we proclaim the word. And then as we activate the word in faith, they perform the word of God. John 14:12 says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." So I saw this in operation, and it was incredible, because it was for entire regions, and it was also around people's minds. So there were individual strongholds, like around people's minds, and then there was collective strongholds that affected entire regions. And I wondered initially, when the Lord had shown me this army, I wondered if it was the angelic being sent out. And I know the angelic are very much involved in these tasks that when we are sent out. But the army that he was showing me was us as the body functioning as it should in the spirit and in power, as true expressions of Yeshua the breaker. Now, Jeremiah 23:29 is another scripture that he gave me. "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that smashes a rock?" This is how the breaker comes. His word is like fire and like a hammer that smashes through rock. Those enemy strongholds don't stand a chance. Even the ones that are fortified, even the ones that have been built and established over many, many, many years, through many years of wrong thinking and wrong believing. His word is like fire. And as we align our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our words with his word, we can smash through and break these enemy strongholds. So the sent ones are like an army, and it's you and I. These barriers and strongholds are obstacles, and they're impediments that block our way. And they are illegitimate authorities, and they must bow or break at Yeshua's legitimate authority. What is stronger and of higher authority overtakes and can push aside and break through that of a lesser authority. So these strongholds can be both inside within us and also on the outside of us, as mentioned before. These are basically obstructions to his kingdom coming and manifesting fully in us and around us. So on the outside of us, these blockages or strongholds could be as a result of our disobedience as nations, as peoples, because of guilt, which hasn't been brought under the blood of the Lamb. We need his salvation, guys. The world needs his salvation and deliverance and cleansing. And this comes about through repentance. There's also blockages and resistances because of his opposition of Satan. Now this is dealt with by Yeshua, by Jesus. And the way that he does this, I know we expect him just to zoom in like Superman, and there's nothing to stop him from doing that. But he has actually already come in the flesh. He came to make a way for us to overcome. He came so that he could overcome through us as well. He came as a man. He overcame and he returned to heaven. And he is coming again. But right now, he is empowering us with his strength to perform a task. He's filled us with his spirit of power to do as he has done, to live free and to appropriate his victory all around us. He's called us to be liberators. And we can be, as we cooperate with Jesus in his deliverance, in what he's bringing cleansing to, and setting people free. We can partner with him in that and do as he has done. We can cooperate with him in our deliverance and in other people's. And you know what? We don't have to have 1 ounce of spiritual ability or strength of our own. Not even one particle, because we can't take any credit for this. It's done in his strength. Say it after me. His strength. His strength by his grace, his beautiful grace. Where would we be without that? We would be lost. So I'll say, go back to that scripture in Micah 2:13 again. One who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out by it. Their king will pass through before them. The Lord is their leader. So as I was praying earlier, I've seen like a lot of these strongholds so elaborately formed around people's minds. And when we have these strongholds and these mindsets, even if they've been formed from some time ago, they're rather like fixtures and fittings. You know, how a house can be set up with all fixtures and fittings, a certain oven or sink and stuff that you like. But I'm telling you now, it's time to renovate. It's time to renovate our thinking. It's time to renovate our lives, to repent and to tear out these trashed fixtures and fittings. Let's take a hammer. Let's take the hammer of his word to these suckers and smash through some stuff. They may be anxiety, could be fear, lack. Great are my anxieties within me, Lord. But, you know, we can take the word and use it as a hammer to destroy these things that have taken up residence and that have become fixtures and fittings in the houses of our souls and spirits. So let's go ahead and deal with those strongholds. It could be lack. It could be, you know, lack is perceiving to not having enough. So it could be not having enough time, not having enough money, not having enough energy, not having enough good looks. It could be entitlements, you know, pride, instabilities, insecurities, rejection. And you know what? When we repent, there is a joy that comes gushing through, a sweet river of joy and deliverance. And it's in that joy that we find his strength, where our mental strongholds are dealt with, but where he becomes our ultimate stronghold. He becomes our refuge. He becomes our strength. When we fix our gaze on him and his strength, he fixes the broken down, desolate walls of our emotions and bodies. Because guys, as we begin to live according to his word, walking this out in the spirit of truth, we're going to see our bodies getting renovated as our minds and as our beings are being renovated. Our bodies are going to be coming into alignment with that. We're going to begin to see that renewal. It begins to take effect. We'll see it take effect in us, through us, the worlds around us, in our relationships. This is truly being the light, guys. And it's not easy. Often there's this process of suffering in order to attain to that glory that is set before us. But guys, let's deal with these strongholds, because this will then put us in good stead for when true suffering, when true difficulties and trials come because of our belief, because of our faith, because of the times that we're stepping into. When we've dealt with these strongholds that are limiting and hindering us and, you know, affecting our journeys, if we deal with them, gosh, what a shining army of overcomers and breakthrough ready as the Lord's true expression of his body on the earth. I know I've been speaking a lot about the personal strongholds, and I've really been placing an emphasis on that because it's important that we deal with these personal strongholds before going out to try and tackle regional stuff. There's a process of growing and maturity, but I will touch on dealing with the regional ones too. When the Lord invites you, because we always do this at his leading, okay, he will highlight something. He will begin to give revelation to you and to the people that you're in fellowship with. And in that place of prayer and fasting, seek the Lord on strategy and follow the protocols in the spirit as well. Follow those protocols. Don't step out in presumption. Don't presume that you know how God wants to deal with a certain issue. Obedience is so important. I remember a few years back, we took a trip to Germany. And whilst in Berlin, there was a few prayer assignments that the Lord led me and a couple of friends on. One of them was dealing with a collective stronghold, and that was regarding shame and betrayal that the German people had experienced, years ago through the Second World War and some of the things that had happened there. The German people were still feeling the effects of that, and it was even being felt in the land there. This was how the Lord alerted to me to it, was through this land defilement. So we prayed in repentance, and there was a shift immediately. The sky went from this dark, ominous, dark, cloudy, stormy kind of sky. Like literally, as we prayed, the clouds broke open. There was sunlight just beaming in. It was just, we felt the Lord's favor, and we felt the liberty in the spirit as well come physically in the natural realm. It was really wonderful. And then the following day, as a kind of a confirmation of that prayer, Germany ended up winning the football as well. And so for the first time in that city, there was just German flags everywhere. And we were just rejoicing with the German people that they were, you know, they had this, it was more of the pride of their national identity that had been restored, like from the shame of the past. Yeah, so that was really great to be a part of. There could be other collective strongholds that the Lord leads you in. I was just using that just as a simple example. But sometimes these strongholds could be connected to a land defilement. Now, another thing I wanted to touch on regarding dealing with the regional strongholds is maturity. Because maturity is important. And I believe maturity isn't about the great exploits that we have done for the Lord, but rather our ability to listen and obey, how we've stewarded the various things that God's given us or entrusted us with, stewarded the mysteries and other things, how we've stewarded the resources that he's entrusted us with. So we, as we go through various things, as we work through our own issues in our own temple, as we deal with our personal strongholds, gradually we get to a sense of maturity. But that comes about through our obedience and our journey with the Lord. I want to use King David as an example of this, actually, because when he took out Goliath, he was a boy. So in his brother's eyes, he wasn't necessarily mature enough to go and take on a regional stronghold. However, David had got that maturity in God's eyes because he'd been found faithful in the things that the Lord had entrusted him with. David was able to see the people that were gripped under that regional stronghold of that fear and intimidation of that uncircumcised Philistine Goliath. David saw how the people had come underneath that that stronghold, and he saw through it. He saw those people as his flock of sheep that needed to be protected from the bear or the lion that was coming to attack it. So our maturity comes from our journey with God, and God basically determines if we're ready or not to take on a regional stronghold. Even if in our own eyes, perhaps we're like, oh Lord, really? Me? Or, often if we think we're qualified to go and do something, we often aren't. So when God does call us to tackle some of the larger things, just walk humbly and just in obedience as to what he shows you. Okay, so I want to read now just part of Psalm 51 from the Passion Translation. God, give me, this is Psalm 51. I can't remember if I said that or not. I kind of went somewhere else. God, give me grace from your fountain of forgiveness. I know your abundant love is enough to wash away my guilt. And then I'm going to go down to verse 6. I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come now into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. Purify my conscience. Make this leper clean again. Wash me in your love until I am pure in heart. Tell me you forgive me and my song of joy will return. The places within me you have crushed will rejoice in your healing touch. Hide my sins from your face. Erase all my guilt in your saving grace. Start over with me and create a new clean heart within me. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires ready to please you. May there never be even a shadow of darkness between us. May you never deprive me of your holy sacred spirit. Let the passion of my life be restored. I pray that that has brought refreshing to your souls. And I really do urge you, if there's been strongholds or just things that you know deep within yourself as you've been listening to this, if you've felt that kind of conviction, like, oh, I've been kind of guilty of doing that, or I'm kind of inclined to be a bit on the anxious side or of worrying, or I'm a bit inclined to trying to do stuff in my own strength and stressing everybody else out around me. If you're a little bit inclined, or if you feel that conviction as I've been sharing, please go before the Lord and just offer those things up to him. Take the hammer of his word and smash those things. And then rejoice. Rejoice in your deliverance. Rejoice in that breakthrough. Rejoice that he is the breaker and he has gone before you to break open the way, to lead us as his little sheep onto the paths that we're supposed to be on. Anyway, I send my blessings and love and joy from the cabin today to all of you guys. Shalom.